The Adventures of Michael Shane, Private Detective. The people who make 76 gasoline and Triton Motor Oil, Union Oil Company, present... The Adventures of Michael Shane, Private Detective, starring Wally Mayer and Kathy Lewis. San Francisco is a city of color and activity, and in the course of time, Mike Shane's office has had its share of both. At the moment, Mike and his assistant Phyllis Knight have almost more color than they can take. Seated between their two desks is a young man with curly red hair, a red tie, orange shirt, and green coat. Mike squints at him thoughtfully.
But I don't understand, Mr. Cullenwald. Why would anyone want to kill Mr., what's his name?
Demetro Sador.
Yes, But why? Has he got any enemies?
Mr. Shane, a great piano virtuoso like Demetro Sador has many jealous rivals. Hmm? And then his awful temper, there's no telling.
Why did he start getting these threatening letters, Mr. Cullenwald?
Last week. We went to the police at once. They investigated, or tried to.
Mm-hmm.
But Demetro wouldn't help in the least.
Mm-hmm.
He was very annoyed. Then this afternoon, your friend the inspector told me, if we still wanted to look into it, I might come to you.
You are his secretary?
No, minor. I'm just a friend. I live in the next apartment to Demetro. I'm a poet.
Huh?
Perhaps Miss Knight has seen some of my work. My... Sonnets to a Porcelain Cupid?
Huh? Oh, yes, well, yes, yes.
Mr. Cullenwald, you want me to investigate these threats against your friend, but I doubt I can do anything unless he's willing to help.
But we can't let a great pianist, a great genius, gamble with his life. If you'd come out with me and talk to him, well, he'd be furious, of course. But you might convince him.
You know, I'd like to meet him, Mike. They say he's a character.
Yeah? All right, sir. All right, we'll go talk to your lion of the keyboard.
When? Today?
Today, this afternoon, right now.
I don't believe he hears us.
Oh, yes, it's always this way. I'll just keep pounding.
Demetro!
Don't the neighbors complain of this racket?
Oh, no, there are only five of us in this building. We all love Demetro, and we used to know it.
Oh, I should think. Living over a garage in a poultry market.
Oh, he stopped playing.
Demetro, it's Eric! Demetro, I want you to...
Go away.
What? Oh, the...
Demetro! Come back! Demetro!
I am practicing.
Demetro, we've got to talk to you. It's important. Go on in, Mr. Shane, quick.
No, I have a concert tomorrow.
You can practice while we talk. This is Mr. Shane and Miss Knight, Demetro Sador.
It's a pleasure to meet you, Mr. Sador.
You are welcome.
Mr. Cullenwald tells us you've had letters threatening your life, sir. We'd like to ask you to...
Police! Police, I will not talk.
Huh?
No!
Well,
no!
Demetro, please. Mr. Shane is a private detective.
We simply want to look at those letters, sir. It's possible.
No letters. Foolishness. Nobody killed Demetro Sador.
Oh, we hope not, Mr. Sador. It would be a tragedy if anything happened to a musical genius like Demetro Sador.
Genius? Oh, yes, that is so.
Why, I've heard you play. It was out of this world. We can't risk losing you, Mr. Sador. San Francisco's greatest pianist.
America's greatest.
Yes, America's greatest.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we must find who sent you those threatening letters.
They are nothing. Women fall in love with Demetro Sador. I scorn them. Now they hate. I have no time for them. I am married to my music.
Yes, sure. Now, if you'll just show us the letters, please.
No, all foolishness.
But we have to see them.
No!
Please,
well,
Mr. Sador.
There is the door. Go!
Be better, Mr. Shane. I'm sorry.
Okay, you're the boss.
You are the first people to come to my studio today. And you are the last.
Well, how do you feed that guy? Through the bars?
I'm frightfully sorry, Mr. Shane.
Eric, what in the name of three-toed Pete went on in there? I could hear it through the wall.
Oh, it was about those letters again. Mr. Shane, Miss Knight, Rita Amodio.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Oh, those letters. Probably they were mailed by some crank.
That's possible. Well, we'd better be moving along, honey. I'm sorry we couldn't do anything for you people.
Here, hold on. We just can't let you walk off with just a thank you. Let me take you both to dinner.
Hmm? Well, that's very nice of you. What do you say, Mike?
Well, it's okay with me.
Oh, fine. We'll go to the little Russian restaurant on the hill, the Cossack Club.
Huh?
And I'll read you some of my poetry this night.
Oh.
I know you'll get a kick out of it.
Uh-huh. Right on the shins.
But please, you must have some dessert.
No, thanks. No, we really have to be going.
Yes, we have tickets to the theater or something.
Oh, just one more poem. Just one more. My ode to a lonely seagull. Listen. What meanest thou, bird of sad lament?
Inspector. Hey. Well, what are you doing here?
They told me I'd find you here. I understand you talked to that piano player this afternoon.
Yes, about an hour and a half ago.
Uh-huh. Mind going back to his studio with me?
Well, it's useless, Inspector. He won't talk to you, me, or anybody.
I know he won't. He's dead.
This is the floor, Inspector. Uh-huh. It's at the end of the hall, Studio A.
Oh, I can't believe it. Our own DeMetro dead. Murdered, you say?
I don't know. Some woman phoned me all in a lather. Said it was murder. She told me about you, Mike, and where you were eating, so I thought I'd better bring you along.
Here we are, Inspector.
Well, police surgeon beat me here. What do you say, Doc?
Oh, Inspector. Haven't had time for real examination yet. There's something weird about this.
Oh, there's the body. By his old piano.
Who's the man with the beard?
Dr. Classen. He found the body.
Huh? Oh, yes, I did.
All right. What's the story?
Well, you see, I lived the other end of the hall, Studio D. I got a phone call. It was Dimitrov.
Uh-huh.
He said something was wrong with him, gasped, and then I heard him fall.
What time was this, Doctor?
About an hour ago, 6:10.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I found his door locked, so I got Professor Gebhardt across the hall and broke the door down. I found him here by the piano. The phone had fallen from his hand.
No signs of violence, no wounds on the body.
Maybe it was his heart.
Heart? No, he was in perfect health.
What do you say, Dr. Collins?
Oh, just a minute. A little pressure under the ribs.
You aren't giving him artificial respiration.
No, dead too long. I want to... Yes, that's it.
What is?
He died of asphyxiation.
Asphyxiation? Are there any gas jets in this studio?
It's not that kind of gas, Inspector. I know the smell. It was poison gas. It was deliberate murder.
We'll return to Michael Shane and his adventures in just a moment. Friends, did you ever stop to think that you may be driving a car with a sticky engine? Well, that's just what happens when your engine is full of sludge. You see, this engine sludge, formed by some oils, is sticky stuff. It can gum up piston rings, plug oil lines, and otherwise interfere with smooth, efficient performance. In addition, sludge is often abrasive, full of harsh metal particles that score the inside of your engine. Now, draining your oil will not remove sludge. That's why Union Oil Company recommends flushing out your engine from time to time with Cleanse Oil, the special solvent action cleansing oil. Cleanse Oil is harmless to your motor, but its dissolving action penetrates to every working part, cutting sludge out swiftly and cleanly. Then, when the Cleanse Oil is drained out, the sludge flushes out with it, leaving your engine clean. And with a fresh supply of pure, paraffin-based Triton motor oil, you're all set for hundreds of miles of clean, safe engine operation. To clean your engine out this quick, easy way, just drive in wherever you see the sign of the big orange and blue 76 and ask the Minuteman for Cleanse Oil Service. Thank you. The famous pianist, Demetro Sedor, has been murdered by poison gas, and Mike, Phyllis, and the inspector have just completed a search of the dead man's studio apartment.
Mike, Mike, I don't see how it could be murder. The door was locked from the inside. The same with the windows.
Yeah. Dimitro Sedo was asphyxiated by poison gas. He did it himself.
Fine, except for one thing. The poison gas must have been in some kind of a container. Well, where is it? We've checked the whole apartment. He didn't have anything stronger than aspirin tablets.
Okay, it was the work of a ghost who oozed through the keyhole, gave the guy chloroform, then trickled out onto the windowsill.
Maybe I can help you, Inspector.
Yes, Dr. Collins.
I've just examined the man's throat.
Oh.
There were signs of cauterizing. Death was almost instantaneous. I'd say the gas was something like Jotite, supposedly a secret German product. Either liquid or vapor.
That's a terrific help.
Mike?
You
smell something?
Huh? Smell what?
Well, it's, I'm almost sure it's perfume. A brand I know.
Huh?
Very strong here by the piano in the bookcase.
Say, you're right. I don't remember smelling anything when we were in here before. Of course, we weren't paying attention.
Well, it might mean that somebody came in after we left.
But how? Dimitro said we were the first people in the studio today, and that we'd be his last.
And the door was locked from the inside, according to Dr. Klassen. That right, Doctor?
Oh, yes, that's right. Professor Gephardt and I had to break in. He lives right across the hall, you know.
Mike, maybe you better double-check that with the professor.
Yeah, we will, Angel. But first, here's something we overlooked.
Letters. Where'd you find them?
On top of that pile of sheet music. Electric light bill, advertisement.
Uh-oh.
Here we are.
One of those death notes, Mike?
Yeah. Let's see. Postmark San Francisco, day before yesterday. Dimitro, this is your last warning. This week you die. Here, look it over, Inspector.
Written in green ink, unsigned. Sheet about the size of a woman's stationery.
Is it? Let me see.
Recognize the handwriting, Doctor?
No.
You, Eric?
I don't think so.
Phil. Phyllis, what are you doing? Dusting the apartment?
Well, it certainly needs it. Dust and grit all over the top of that bookcase.
Here, look at this letter. Would you say it's a woman's handwriting?
It could be. It's small enough. The writing looks sort of crude, doesn't it?
Yeah. Disguised. Maybe written with the left hand.
Well, this is beginning to stack up. Perfume in the room, a threatening letter written probably by a woman.
Eric, did Dimitro have any special women friends?
Well, you heard what he said. Maybe some women were in love with him, and then it turned to hate. He said he was married to his music. It was true.
But that's not an answer. Among the women, who was closest to him?
Well, perhaps Rita.
Was she in love with him?
Well, was she, Eric? Okay, we'll find out for ourselves. Come on, Inspector.
I'll be glad to answer your questions, gentlemen. Won't you sit down on my hassocks?
On your what?
Hassocks, my pillows.
Oh.
I don't believe in chairs.
Rita, Miss Imodio, after Eric took us to dinner, which was about 5:45 p.m., did you hear anything unusual in the studio next door?
Not a thing. I was sitting here reading. I heard Dimitro playing Grieg's Piano Concerto. That was his favorite piece. And then, by and by, it sort of trailed off to nothing.
That's probably when he was killed.
But he had no callers. I would have heard them.
You were quite a friend of Dimitro Sedor's, weren't you?
Yes. He was a wonderful man. I can't imagine anyone killing him unless...
Yes?
Well, I was just wondering, could it be possible... Oh, no, it's foolish.
Could what be possible?
Well, it was at a cocktail party last week at the Reynolds. I remember something Dr. Klassen said. He was talking of some method he knew to kill a man so there would be no clues.
Go on, we're interested.
Well, that's all I heard. Somebody came over to our group and took me away. Of course, the doctor may have said more.
Of course. But coming back to the murder itself, Dr. Klassen says Dimitro's door was locked from the inside, that he and Professor Gebhardt had to break in. Do you know if that's right?
Yes, I heard the noise. I went out and watched them.
Phil, would you mind making some notes over at Miss Amodio's desk?
Oh, of course.
It's a poor sort of desk, really. It's my makeup table.
About Dr. Klassen again. You made a point of talking about him. Have you any reason to suspect him?
Well... the doctor fancies himself a composer. I suppose he did resent it when Dimitro wouldn't play any of his pieces. They were about as musical as the brayings of a lovesick donkey.
Did you ever hear them quarrel?
Oh, constantly. But we all did. That's the spice of our existence. We live in all four dimensions at once.
Mike. Like it is what you wanted.
What did you find?
One bottle of green ink, one bottle of perfume.
What? Why, how dare you? Put those back.
Bill, is it the same perfume we smelled in his studio?
I'm sure of it.
Plus a death note written in green ink. Miss Imodio, I'll have to ask
you. You will not. I won't be bullied.
Huh?
Rita. Rita, what's wrong?
Doctor, these pickle-brained snoopers think I killed Dimitro.
What? Why, well, that's claptrap. Perfect claptrap.
Maybe. Miss Imodio, just where were you from 5:45 to 7 p.m. tonight?
She was with me. We were having supper in my apartment.
She was there when Dimitro telephoned you?
Yes, she was.
Dr. Claston, didn't you tell us your apartment is at the other end of the hall?
I did. Studio D.
Mm-hmm. It's rather remarkable that Miss Imodio could have dinner with you at the same time she was sitting here listening to the piano concerto next door.
Oh, yes. May I talk to you outside, please?
A second.
Now, this is very embarrassing. I did lie. For a moment, I suspected that Rita might be guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, she's the woman I love.
Then you didn't have dinner with her?
No.
All right. Now, strain your memory a little more, Doctor. A few days ago, you told some people you knew a way to kill a man so that it could never be traced. We're dying to hear that little secret.
How did you know?
From your dinner date. Little pal, Rita.
Oh? Well, it was just an academic discussion.
Yeah.
Professor Gebhardt and I were talking of various methods of murder, not just one.
Mm.
Oh, I could name 15 ways of killing a man without a trace. You're not going to accuse me of 15 murders.
A neat answer without telling us anything.
It is as I said.
Okay, that's all for now. But don't leave this building.
Well, I thought you were just about to land your fish and then you let him off the hook.
Oh, no, we didn't. Let the two of them fry in their own fat a while. Whatever they cook up will be our dish, not theirs.
And while they're cooking it up, Mike, let's take a hard look at the much talk about Professor Gebhardt.
Gentlemen, it was most sad about Dimitro, and such a strange death, that the class and I were completely mystified.
We wanted to talk to you, Professor. You stay very much to yourself, don't you?
Yes, I am working on experiments. As you see, my apartment is also my laboratory. Hey, I will clear off the chair so you may sit.
Jeepers, did you ever see such a jumble? Stuffed animals, glass, tubing, goosenecks, pots, kettles, doofus machines.
No, sit down.
Thank you.
Professor Gebhardt. We'll come right to the point. First, you know if Dimitro Sedor had any visitors tonight between 5:45 and about 6:10?
No, I would have heard them. These walls are like tissue paper.
Uh-huh. And now about Dr. Claston.
Hmm?
We understand, Professor, that last week at a party, he told you of some special way of killing a man without leaving a clue.
Yes, I remember.
Do you know what that method was, Professor?
In part, it was some sort of gas.
A gas?
Yes, it was something he learned as a doctor, I suppose.
Do you know what kind of gas?
No. He uses my laboratory and experiments with his ideas, but he does not tell me everything.
Do you know, Professor, if Rita Imodio was in love with Dimitro?
In love? Well,
in other words, she was?
She is a lovely girl, but she was for Dimitro just a fly buzzing around. Dimitro was very cruel.
Then perhaps she might have killed him.
Rita? No, she couldn't have. She was with me.
With you? But the doctor?
Yes. We had dinner here, the two of us.
Dr. Claston tried to claim he had dinner with her. Now, don't tell us, Professor, that you're in love with her, too.
Well, I am not ashamed.
Mind if we take a little look around your laboratory?
I would prefer not.
I'm afraid we must, Professor.
If you will tell me what you want, I do not like anyone to handle my apparatus.
What are all these broken glass tubes?
Please, gentlemen!
What's that?
Good heavens, what now?
It's Rita.
Come on.
Rita, what is it?
It's Eric. Oh, he's dying.
In just a moment, we'll rejoin Mike and Phyllis in their adventures. Ladies and gentlemen, a common error among motorists is to blame excess carbon on the gasoline they use. Actually, nearly all carbon formed in automobile engines comes from the lubricating oil. Now, another interesting fact is that lubricating oils differ widely in the amount of carbon they'll form. In fact, in a recent comparative test made with the 7 leading motor oils sold in the West, Triton motor oil contained 38% fewer carbon-forming elements than the next best oil, 86% less than the average. All of which boils down to the laboratory fact that you'll get maximum protection from carbon if you use Triton motor oil. The secret of Triton's superiority lies in Union Oil Company's exclusive propane solvent refining process, a process so valuable that it's been patented by Union Oil Company. So, friends, with mechanics as scarce as they are today, why not take advantage of the extra protection Triton motor oil will give you against carbon? Triton is a 100% pure paraffin-based lubricant. You can buy Triton motor oil at all Union Oil Minuteman stations. Just look for the sign of the big orange and blue 76. Thank you. Mike, Phyllis, and the inspector are no nearer a solution of the murder of Dimitro. Rita's scream brought them to the hallway where they are trying to revive a very pale and limp young man, Eric Cullenwald.
Eric, what happened to him?
He's dying.
Don't crowd him, folks. Get him air.
Please. I'm all right.
Yes, you are. You're white as death. Can hardly stand up.
He staggered into my room and fell down. I knew he was dying. Just like Dimitro.
Come on, son. Come on. What happened to you?
I don't know. Suddenly, I couldn't breathe. I strangled.
See, it's just like Dimitro.
Where did this happen?
Well, I was just walking down the hall.
You'd better lie down. Dr. Klassen can take care of you.
No. I'm all right. Quite all right. I'll just sit down in here with Rita.
Mike, this was just like Dimitro. There must be something deadly in this building.
Phyllis, Inspector.
What is it, Mike?
Follow me. We've got to act fast. We've got to get back into that laboratory.
Oh, jeepers, if the professor walks in here on us...
Now, listen. Just before Rita screamed, I asked the professor about some broken glass tubes and bottles.
Yeah, Mike. Here they are on this bench. They look almost like electric light globes.
Phil, back in Dimitro's studio, you said something about a lot of dust and grit.
Yeah, on the bookcase.
Was it like the grit on this bench here?
Yes, it was.
That's not grit, Angel. It's powdered glass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Does it mean something to you, Mike?
I don't know yet, but there might be some connection. Hey, wait a minute. Honey, that cabinet you're leaning on, is it a phonograph?
Yes.
Has it got a record on it?
Wait a minute. It's Grieg's piano concerto.
I bet that's it. All right, kids, we're going to make an experiment. Honey, start that phonograph.
All right, quiet, please. Is everybody here now? Rita, Eric, Dr. Klassen, Professor Gebhardt?
Okay. Now, you probably wonder why we ask all of you into Dimitro's studio.
Yes.
During the course of our investigation, you've all come under suspicion for one reason or another. Now that we know who the murderer is...
What? You know?
We think the innocent parties are entitled to a little explanation.
You know the murderer?
We do.
Dr. Klassen. You claim to know 15 ways to commit a successful murder. One of them, I believe, is poison gas. Am I right?
Well, yes.
In fact, a few days ago, Doctor, you concocted such a gas in Professor Gebhardt's laboratory and told about it at a cocktail party.
Yes,
and
but
you,
I...
Professor Gebhardt, in your laboratory, you experimented with very thin glass globes which shatter by musical vibrations. Is that correct, Professor?
It was no secret. I demonstrated it to Dimitro several times.
That was very unfortunate, Professor. The combination of experiments by you two gentlemen killed Dimitro Sedor and almost killed Eric.
No.
I have two of the Professor's glass globes here in my hand. One I have filled with cigarette smoke, which we will pretend is poison gas. The other one contains water, which we will say is... Rita's perfume.
Now, look here,
The perfume was used to cover up the smell of the poison gas. Now,
I'll take these globes and tuck them behind this oil painting above the bookcase here. Like so.
This is fantastic.
Okay. Okay, honey. Sit down at the piano and do your stuff.
All right.
Just the part we marked.
There's water running down the wall.
And the cigarette smoke. The globes broke.
Yes. Yes, as Dimitro played his favorite piece, the Greek concerto, he unwittingly released the gas which killed him.
This is diabolical. But who could have done it? The door was locked from the inside and the window...
We know that Dimitro was playing the Greek concerto when we first came to see him this evening. No gas had been released then. But when he played the concerto the next time after we left, he died. Now, you all get the significance of that. We leave a live pianist in his room. He locks the door. Half a dozen witnesses see the doctor and the professor break down the door.
Well, no one entered the room after you left. Yes, that is right.
Well, then the poison was placed in the room while you, Mr. Shane, and Miss Knight were in the room.
Correct, Doctor. And I didn't slip those glass globes behind the picture. And I know that Miss Knight didn't.
And that leaves Mr. Eric Cullenwald.
This is insane. Those threatening letters Dimitro got, I hired Shane to protect Dimitro's life.
The letters you wrote yourself, Eric. And you hired us to give you an alibi. You made sure we were with you when you planted the poison gas. And that we were eating with you when Dimitro died.
That's the story, isn't it, Eric?
Yes, I guess it is.
It's just one thing we're in the dark about. How did you get a dose of your own poison?
I had some extra globes of the gas. I was trying to get rid of them. One of them dropped and broke. Everything went wrong. Everything.
Yes, Eric. Yes, in murder, everything is wrong. Right from the first chapter. Well, Inspector, I guess the last chapter is yours.
Hey, kids, look at that clock. You realize for once we've solved the case and we're on our way home before midnight?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what's the matter with you kids? You're so quiet.
Oh, I was just thinking. You suppose Eric was in love with Rita, too?
Of course. When Eric thought he was dying, where did he head for? Rita's apartment.
That was his motive. Rita was in love with Dimitro. Eric figured his only chance with her was to get rid of Dimitro.
His one dumb trick was to use her perfume. That almost put the handcuffs on his lady love.
Mm-hmm. Three men in love with one woman. I wonder, what has she got that I haven't?
Oh. Well, now, that shouldn't worry you, Angel. What have you got that she hasn't? You know the answer.
Oh, Michael.
Tune in again next week at 8 o'clock for another adventure with Michael Shane, Private Detective, starring Wally Mayer and Kathy Lewis, with Joe Forte as the inspector. Tonight's story was written by Richard DeGraff and based on the character created by Brett Halliday. Music was composed and directed by Bernard Katz. This is John Lang saying goodnight for the people who make 76 Gasoline and Triton Motor Oil, Union Oil Company. This is the Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System.